Bibles, open them up to James chapter 4. I have an eye-opening message for us as Christians today. James chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. It says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss." That literally means you miss the mark for what you're asking for. "That you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now go with me back to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, just one verse. And it says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Well, as this has been the National Day of Prayer Week, right? Any of you pray this week? All right, great. Today I want to talk about the prayerless Christian. All right? The prayerless Christian. And specifically, things that a Christian forfeits for the kingdom of God and for themselves personally when they don't pray. I guarantee you, by the end of this message, you're going to be having a desire to pray. And if not, it's not my fault. All right? All right. So, some would say that surely God is not limited by our prayers. He will do whatever he wants, anytime he wants. But that belief contradicts many, many passages in the Word of God. All right? Many Christians have that view of the kingdom of God. And those people that hold that view, they're more of a hindrance to the kingdom of God than a fellow laborer, come on, together with God on this earth. We are fellow laborers on this earth. And part of that laboring together with God is prayer. Say prayer. In the wisdom of God, he has set up a system where he wanted to include mankind in his plan. And prayer is a huge part of that plan. We are God's building, the Word of God says. God is counting on Christians, you and I, listen to this, to release his authority on this earth. Oh, let me say that again. God is counting on us as Christians to release his authority on this earth. Amen? We as Christians have been given authority through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus, and to approach the throne of God boldly, according to Hebrews 4:16. And when we do that, when you come boldly to the throne, we have all of heaven backing us up. Did you know that? Isn't that good to know? Say, I have all of heaven backing me up. But listen to this. The Holy Spirit wanted me to throw this little nugget in here for y'all. But you cannot come boldly to the throne of grace without making the decision to confess, repent, and forsake sin in your life. Oh, come on, listen to me. Do you guys remember in last week's message, I made the comment that the fight of faith is trying to convince ourselves to believe in the promises of God. All right, you remember hearing that? Okay, when we have unconfessed sin or in a backslidden condition, it weakens, listen, our conscience, the voice of our spirit. And that because of that, it weakens our faith, all right? You don't even trust your own spoken words. I said it last week. I just want to give a little review. Many Christians don't even believe their own spoken words or declarations or their prayers. Why? Because you have condemned yourself. Your conscience is squawking at you. Are you hearing me? You ever been in that place before? I have. All right? Which means this. It means that you yourself have deemed yourself unworthy to receive from God. God didn't even deem you unworthy because he says, listen, come boldly to my throne. But because of that sin that you're still holding on to, you lost your confidence in your walk with God. It's getting mighty quiet in here. Now's not the day to be quiet because I could lay down and take a nap right now with how I feel, okay? So come on, talk to me a little bit, right? Keep me alert today. But this is the importance of maintaining a clean and pure conscience. There's nothing like maintaining a clean and pure conscience. And the fight of faith that you are fighting is in your own heart. Hebrews 4:16, listen to this, about coming to the throne boldly. All right, that is not approval to sin. We know that, right? I mean, we don't have to say that, but we do, right? Grace is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit to give you strength to live a holy life and to live according to the Word of God. Amen? I don't know if you know this or not, but there's no such thing as cheap grace. It cost Jesus the death on the cross. It cost him everything. And it requires us to forsake these worldly mindsets and anything that would displease God in our life. So prayer is extremely powerful. And Satan and evil spirits know that truth. So here's what they do. They set traps in your life to stop you from praying. Now listen, a lot of times when we hear about praying, we're only putting it in, oh, I want something from God. I got to have something from God. No. Praying is a fruit of an intimate relationship. Amen. Don't just make it an equation to receive from God. God is not your spiritual Santa Claus. Come on. Amen? See, those traps that the enemy set, those are called distractions. Oh, distractions. They're all around us, aren't they? We need to be spiritually aware enough to recognize those traps, those distractions, and not just recognize, but don't give in to them. Amen? We need to avoid them. There is a reason why when you go to pray that everything that you need to do that day pops into your mind. I mean, the dumbest things, right? Oh, okay, you know, you're getting ready. Oh, come on. All right, Lord, I'm going to do this. All right. Oh, wait a minute. The remote control needs a battery in it. Let me do that first. Good. Okay. All right, Lord, now I'm ready. Then something else pops up. It's ridiculous. There is a reason why the enemy is stopping you, because it's absolute power, and it will make a dent in the kingdom of darkness. Amen? So now let's talk about some of the things that we forfeit in our life when we refuse to pray and we give in to distractions. Are you ready? Here we go. Thank you. A prayerless Christian will fall into more temptation in their life. A lack of prayer will cause you to fall into more temptation. Now, listen to me here. I didn't say temptations wouldn't come. Temptations are always going to come. I said you won't fall into them as quickly if you were praying. Now, go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus taught us this in the Lord's Prayer. He taught us about this. So Matthew 6, verses 7 through 13. All right? And when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they will be heard for their many words. So immediately Jesus says, okay, answered prayer. It don't matter how many words you speak. Answered prayer is not based on how many words you're speaking. Do we get this, body of Christ? Do we get this? Right? It's not in the amount of words that are spoken. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice it says, this day. Lord, I just pray you would provide for me the rest of the days of my life. No blanket prayers. Nah. Every day, this day, meaning pray every day. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, so Jesus did not say, and Jesus did not teach things for no reason. Everything that's in the Word of God, everything that Jesus taught had a purpose and had a reason behind it. If Jesus is telling us to pray, okay, for God not to lead us into temptation, that's exactly what's going to happen if we pray. He's going to lead us around. Amen? Come on. So he was giving us a keys to a victorious prayer life, and a life of prayer will give you strength to overcome sin and temptation. Now listen to this. The Word of God says, the steps of a good man or person are ordered by the Lord. To have your step ordered by the Lord means this, that you must be in fellowship with him in prayer and hide his word in your heart. In other words, there must be relationship there. Relationship. Say relationship. A relationship doesn't work without good communication. And your relationship with God is no different. Amen? So you are receiving instruction for him. When you're maintaining that line of communication, this tells me then that the Holy Spirit is interested in every area of your life. There is not one area, not one. Let me give you a little example of this. It's a little cheesy, but it still brings home the point. We're driving up to Bad Axe yesterday, and we're thinking, where do we want to eat? You know, it's always that discussion. Where are we going to eat today, right? And so we had, well, there's the China King, and then there's Rachel's up in Bad Axe. She goes, well, what does the Holy Spirit want? And I'm like, okay, we're pulling that card, I guess, right? Okay, right? We're gonna, sure. You know, I kind of joked with her about it, right? And I said, and then I got convicted. And I was like, okay, we'll pray it. Holy Spirit, where do you want us to go? And I seen a vision that said Rachel's. And I said, all right, I'm going to Rachel. Rachel's D. So we went there, we sat down, and the song that we heard when we basically first met played. Mind blown. I mean, out of all the songs in this world, that song played. She starts tearing up, and I said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, I get it. You want to be in?" And the food was amazing. But my point is, it seems so insignificant, doesn't it? But the Holy Spirit gave that little. What he was trying to say was, "I want to be included in every area of your life." You know, I mean, I was kind of joking with her about, oh, you're pulling that God card on. Oh, sure, you know, okay, right, right. What color shirt am I supposed to wear today, right? Yeah. So. Huh? What's that? Oh, yeah. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm here to tell you, God wants to be involved in every area of your life. Now, I better get moving here. In Psalm 119:11, the psalmist said, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, a prayerless Christian will not fill himself or herself with the word of God because there is no hunger for it in their life. Hello. Here's why. Because they're not in a spiritual mindset. If you want to walk in the Spirit, if you're in the flesh and you want to flip into the mode of the Spirit, guess what? You have to do something spiritual. And prayer fits in that mode. Reading the Word fits in that mode. Come on, somebody. Amen? So there must be a spiritual hunger and desire in your life. The Holy Spirit said this, without desire, you will not go higher spiritually. Without a desire, you will not go higher spiritually in your life. A lack of prayer, listen to this, allows the flesh to overpower your born-again spirit and override the Holy Spirit who lives in your born-again spirit. All right? Here we go. Listen to this. Next point. As a prayerless Christian, you will not bear fruit or kingdom results in your life. And because of that, you will fail to bring glory to your Heavenly Father and Jesus. Let me say it again. As a prayerless Christian, you will not bear fruit or kingdom results in your life. And because of not bearing that fruit, you will not glorify Jesus in your Heavenly Father. Go to John 14. John 14. Hallelujah. All right, just to let you know, if I pass out up here, the service is over. Have a great lunch wherever you guys go, okay? Just wanted to squeeze that in there. Now, John 14, 12 through 14, Jesus said these words. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name," this is mind-blowing, get this now, "and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You see a chain of command? If you're glorifying Jesus, you're glorifying your Heavenly Father. If you ask anything, Jesus just didn't stop there. Verse 14, he goes on to say, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." My goodness, that's amazing. So, here, look at, go, now let's tie this together in John 15, 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. And it's, Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you," underline it, "desire. Without desire, you won't go higher, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So to be able to bear fruit, you must be a disciple. Hello, somebody. Not a creaster. Do you know what a creaster is? Someone who just goes to church on Easter. Once a year, twice. And Christmas and Easter, those are the two big ones. No, you must be a disciple. And a disciple means a disciplined one, a committed one, a learner. You're studying the life of Jesus. You're studying the Word of God. Amen? So to ask for something in the name of Jesus means that your desires and prayers are in agreement with the Word of God. Now, I'm going to show you something in a minute that the Holy Spirit showed me, but I don't want to interject it yet. Hold that thought. But it means that your desires are birthed out of you abiding in Christ and His words abiding in you. So here's what you got to know. Both conditions must be met for answered prayer. Number one, you abide in Christ with obedience to the Word. Hello? Number two, His Word must be abiding in you. Do you know what that means? That His Word stays fresh in your heart. It stays fresh. Not stale bread, fresh bread. You ever tried eating stale bread before? Well, we just did, I guess, at communion, whatever that is. Never mind that example. Right? Yeah, thank you. But we got to keep the Word of God fresh in our heart, fresh in our soul, fresh in our mind. Amen? That's the renewing of the mind process that's taking place. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit said this. If your prayers are not being answered, perhaps one or both of those conditions are not being met in your life. Perhaps. Now, there's some other things that could be going on there, right? We know unforgiveness. We know bitterness. We know, you know, not walking in love. Not walking in love says your faith's not going to work without walking in love, right? So there's things, but perhaps those two conditions are not being met. So that's why we gotta really check our hearts all the time. Amen? So you also got to know this about prayer. Don't be deceived into thinking that you can just ask for something contrary to the will of God, which is the Word of God, and tack on the phrase, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right? Like it's some kind of a magic trick. Abracadabra, right? Give me a break. No. Okay? That's not what it's talking about. All right? Go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. First John 5:14-15. I love these two verses. It's so powerful in connection to prayer. Look at this. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, that is not, how many of you know, that's not literally talking about God can't, blah, 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 I can't hear you, I can't, hello? That's not saying that God can't hear what you're praying. It means you're praying according to his word or will, that he gives attention to it and says, granted. Hello? Now listen to this. Listen to this. We can only have confidence in our prayers if we pray according to the will of God. Now, here's that caveat I want to throw into this that the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready? There are two aspects to this. So let's talk about, the Bible gives general promises about our life, but we know that it doesn't necessarily say every personal thing that you have coming or the will of God for your life personally. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? Guess who fills in the gaps for your personal life on that? The Holy Spirit. Listen to me. There are two aspects to this. Pray according to the word of God always. Always find that general promise that covers what you're praying for. You got that? And here it is. Here's the part that many people don't think about when praying for your personal life. Always having the inward witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, bearing witness to what you're praying for. Oh my. Okay, you getting it? Listen to me. So, pertaining to aspects of your personal life that you need more about, that's not covered in the word. There must be. So here we go. So God is taking for granted then that we as children of God, are you ready for this? He's taking two things for granted. Number one, that you're reading the word of God. You get it? Yep. He's taking for granted that you're reading the word because we're supposed to. We're his children. This is his word, right? The other things he's expecting is this, that we're alert to the Holy Spirit and how he's leading us on the inside. Two conditions. Amen? Now look real quick. Go with me to Ephesians 6. I want to show you something. I'm kind of threw this in. I snuck this one in here. I didn't put it on the paper back there, Silas, but I'm just going to sneak in Ephesians 6, 17-18 here. So always pray in line with the word of God. That's your general promises that we are to hold on to, right? If something you're praying for does not line up with the general promise, forget about it, save your breath, because it's not the will of God anyways. Are you getting it? Now, here we go. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here it is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now bear with me because I got notes up here that I wrote this morning and it's just clouding it up right here. So I got to get this point across to you, okay? So if you are abiding in Christ, his will become your will. Do you understand that? All right? If there's relationship there, all right? There's Marianne and I, we have a great relationship, right? I know what she would approve of, and I know what she would disapprove of. Why? Because we have a relationship. When you're in a relationship with God, you'll know what pleases and what displeases him. Amen? Now, so that's when we can truly pray and stand in faith, knowing that we have the petitions that we asked of him, because at that point, we're simply coming into agreement. If you got those two things, you got the general promise in the word you're standing on, and you got the witness of the Holy Ghost on the inside, you can stand in agreement. You're standing in agreement with the will of God because you have the witness on the inside. Have you ever prayed for something and you just didn't have peace on the inside, but you pursued it in prayer anyways? Right? You know what God calls that? Idle words. They mean nothing. They mean nothing, right? All right. Now listen to this. So, and you have the inward witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside for timing. Sometimes we pray for something, but the timing isn't yet. Oh, say timing. Everything in the kingdom of God is about timing. Now, listen to this. So this Ephesians 6, 17 and 18 said, pray in the Spirit. All right. So praying in the Spirit, this literally means, yes, praying in tongues. And it literally means this as well. Pray being led by the Spirit. All right? So now what I found interesting is this. That the helmet of salvation, before it talks about praying being led by the Spirit and in the Spirit, it talks about the helmet of salvation. Say helmet. Helmet. All right? So here's what you need to know. The helmet of salvation, if you have the helmet of salvation on, it means that you're maintaining a spiritual mindset, which means you're going to be more in tune with the Holy Ghost, which means you're going to have more answered prayer. Did you get it? With that helmet of salvation off, now you're dealing with an unrenewed mind. You're letting the fiery darts of the enemy come in, and you're praying for things, and you're missing the mark. Because you're seeing it through the flesh. Do you see the connection there? Mentions the helmet. Then it talks about praying, being led by the Holy Spirit. All right? Is that clear as mud to everyone in here? Now listen. A spiritual mindset is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but the flesh blocks him out. Now, so if the word of God is dwelling richly in your heart, you will have, oh, I like this. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. If the word of God is staying fresh in your heart, all right, it's dwelling richly in abundance in your heart, right? Here's what's going to happen. You will have less arguments in your mind that would hold back the answer. Oh, come on. I said the fight of faith is with yourself. You're trying to convince yourself to believe in the word. Are you following me? See, it will keep your spiritual senses very sensitive on the inside of you. I mean, you know what I'm talking about when I'm saying there's arguments that go on in your thought life? That's what doubts are. See, there's unbelief and doubt. Unbelief means you never believed in that thing. Doubt means you believed it, but now you allowed an argument or division to take your focus off of that promise. I like to say it this way. Doubt is a temporary restriction to your faith. Unbelief is, I never believed it anyways. All right? So, when you find scriptures to stand on to back your prayers, and you have the witness of the Holy Ghost on the inside, you should always walk away from that kind of prayer with a joy and expectation to see the answer manifested in the natural realm. See? It should affect your emotions in a positive way. Why? Because we talked about it last week. Faith is positive, not negative. Faith always has a positive outlook. Amen? Here we go. Let's move on to the next point here. A prayerless Christian will not experience the fullness of joy that they could have had. Go to John 16:24. John 16:24. If you're not praying much in your life, you will not experience the fullness of joy that God intends you to have as his child. All right? John 16:24. And it says this: until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God is not opposed to you having joy in your life. Are you following me? Now, dead religion is, but not God. See, again, this scripture is in the context of asking for things that are within the boundaries of the Word of God, which is in the name of Jesus. You picking this thing up now? See, this proves that true joy then can only come from living a holy life and intimate fellowship with the Lord. See, I don't know where many Christians pick this up, but God wants you to have confidence in your prayer life. He wants you to have confidence. God doesn't want you wasting your time, as I always say, throwing spaghetti at a wall and hoping it sticks in prayer. No, 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 no. He wants you to pray and have confidence that you're going to receive. God is not trying to pull a fast one over you. Hello, somebody. Our Heavenly Father is not an abuser. He's not an emotional abuser. Are you following me? No, no, I mean it. People really need to understand that fact because they think that God's playing games with them, right? You know, kind of like the Roadrunner, you know, Looney Tunes, right? Putting that thing out in front and the Roadrunner's always chasing around, right? Meet me, right? Always trying to chase that thing, and he never gets it because it's on a string out in front. People think that God's like that, you know, just holding that thing out. Oh, go ahead, pray for it, but you're not going to get it. No, he wants you to get it. He wants you to be blessed. Amen? He wants you to be blessed. We are blessed through Jesus Christ with the blessing of Abraham. Jesus fulfilled the law so we could stay in the pipeline and receive the blessing of Abraham. Come on, we're in that pipeline. We're in the pipeline, the same pipeline as the blessing that Abraham experienced. What is the blessing of Abraham? Go read it. Because all that favor that he experienced belongs to you through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the law, not destroy it. He came to fulfill it, again, to keep us in the pipeline of that blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. Now, okay, so you got to know, nothing in this world is going to bring you joy. Nothing in this world is going to bring you true joy apart from a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen? The happiness that this world offers is just temporary and vain compared to the joy that Jesus offers. Amen? When your desires are pure and rooted in the Word of God and relationship, only then, that's when you're going to experience that true joy and peace in your life. Next point. A prayerless Christian will forfeit some of God's protection and deliverance in their lives and in the lives of others. Now, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 11, you can read it on your own. But in 2 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul was encouraging the Corinthian Christians, the Christians at Corinth, the city, to continue to pray for him to be delivered from dangerous situations. In verse 11 of that, he said these words. He said, "You also helping together in prayer for us." The key phrase I want you to get is helping together in prayer. All right? So this shows us a very important principle in the kingdom of God. You may not be called into the fivefold full-time ministry, but your prayers for those of us who are in the full-time ministry is just as important as the work of the full-time ministry. Are you following me? So that means the effectiveness even of a pastor is kind of riding on people praying for that pastor. Are you getting it? I mean, why else would the Apostle Paul tell people to pray for him? If it didn't matter, why would he waste his time saying it? There was nothing dead religion about the Word of God. Are you following me? It must mean then that prayer is so powerful, it can change the course of events in your life and in the lives of others. Don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your grandchildren. Don't stop praying. Are you following me? When those words are released, they keep going. They're going. I mean, come on, somebody. They don't stop. Amen? Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul simply tells the Thessalonians, brethren, pray for us. He told Christians to pray for him because it does affect the outcome of ministry. What about when Peter was in prison, right? Christians gathered together and prayed for his freedom, and God literally sent an angel in the prison and set him free. Well, that was back in the Bible day. We're still in the Bible days. Who told you we weren't? You know, we ask, why aren't these things happening? Where's the faith for it? You know, angels operate on our faith as well. You get it? Okay? I mean, when Daniel prayed for a revelation, the angel was hung up for 21 days. The angel was released the minute Daniel prayed, but he was held up in the heavens, fighting with an evil principality. And Daniel fasted and prayed 21 days. And that angel overcame that evil principality. Now, here's what it means. Our prayers determine the effectiveness and the strength of angels. I find it interesting. The Bible even says, don't you know that we're going to judge angels one day? Are you following? What I'm trying to say is we are laborers together with God. Your prayers determine the function of angels in your life. Have you? When's the last time you prayed, Lord, I pray that there would be a greater presence and more interaction of your ministering spirits in my life? When's the last time you prayed that? Come on, somebody. We need to step out and pray some radical prayers. Right? We just kind of take for granted, oh, well, yeah, angels are somewhere around me. I guess they're helping me. No, pray for it. Right? What did Jesus say when he's on the cross? He said, I could pray for how many angels to come down and help. Hello. Well, we're not Jesus. Well, we are part of his body. We walk in the same authority he walked in on this earth. When's the last time you prayed for angelic help? Start doing it. I know when I'm praying in this sanctuary, and one of the first things I say, you know, inviting the presence of God, Lord, I pray that you'd fill this place with your holy angels, your holy ministering spirits, your holy living creatures, every holy spiritual being. And I'll tell you, every time I pray that, I feel an increase of the presence of God. Why? Because they come when you invite. Start inviting them and watch what happens. I'm telling you right now. We don't worship angels, but listen, they're here to minister to and for you, heirs of salvation on this earth. Amen? Don't forfeit that. Don't forfeit that. How about when Abraham interceded for Sodom, right? God, if there's 50 righteous, Lord, if there's 45, if there's 40, if there's 30, he went all the way down to 10. If there's 10 righteous people, save this city. Couldn't even find that, but Abraham stopped at 10. What would happen if he would have dropped it a little lower? Would God still have played ball on that? We'll never know. All I know is he dropped it from 50 down to 10. That's a pretty good cut, isn't it? I mean, I'm no mathematician, but that's a pretty good percentage drop there, right? My point is this. You can see how powerful prayer is and that God's looking for partnership. Are you willing to be a partner with him? Are you willing to labor together with him? He's looking for you to labor together with him. The key word is together, where there's unity between you and him, right? When there's one vision. Come on, there's one vision between you and him. If you have a vision and God has a vision, a different vision, guess what that's called? There's two visions, which means there's division. God doesn't operate very well in division. Does it? No, no. But he blesses what? Unity. Why do you think there can be so much chaos in local churches, people? Why do you think there's so much chaos when the family of God get together? Because the devil wants to cut that unity. He wants to sever that unity. Because he knows if he can sever that unity, guess what? People just show up and we'll just play church. Preach it, Pastor. Come on. The devil knows if there's true unity, one vision, one heart, nothing will be impossible. There will be breakthrough. Amen? Okay? That's why there's one leader. Hello, somebody. Anything with two leaders is a freak. Listen, anything with two heads is a freak. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Someone sets the vision. You're either in line with it or you're not in line with it. Amen? I'll move on. Now, a prayerless Christian will miss out on revelation of the Word of God. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 18, I want to look at here. We need unity. We need unity. I don't know about you, but I want God to move in this place. Amen? Amen. We need unity. Now, it says this, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. All right? So, we must ask and pursue God for more revelation, more wisdom, and more knowledge from his word. We need to pray for it. I've been praying this so much lately. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. You notice they go together. Why? Because once God gives you a revelation, you need wisdom to know how to enforce it. See? God can give you a revelation, but then it's like, what do I do with that? We need wisdom and revelation. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I'm almost done. Hang in there. Now, Ephesians 1, 15 through 18. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The cool part is here, the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to write this down in the letter to show us what did Paul pray for, because that's an anointed prayer. Are you getting it? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Boom, that's awesome. Pray for it. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Boom. Pray for it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Boom. Pray for it. Amen. Paul understood the importance of praying for more wisdom and revelation. So, go to Jeremiah 33:3. Hallelujah. Whenever you're reading the word and you come out, here's how you got to look at the word. Always when you're reading the word, when you're reading a verse, always ask yourself, is this something I can add in my prayers to pray for myself or someone else? How can I take this verse and word it in such to pray for myself or someone else? You getting it? Jeremiah 33:3. Look at this. It says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. This is implying that if we don't pray or call out to God in our life, in our trials, in our circumstances, it means he will not show us great and mighty things. You getting it? What's God's phone number? Jeremiah 33:3. Hello. Call unto me. Call unto me. That is an invitation from the Lord Almighty, your creator. He's saying, here it is, call unto me, because I want to show you great and mighty things. But if you're not going to call unto me, you're not going to get those great and mighty things. It is the praying Christians that will be in tune with the flowing of the Holy Spirit. Hey, how about this? Ask, seek, and knock. I said it before, and I want to say it again. All three of those actions, all three of those things have one thing in common. Are you ready for this? Desire must be active to do all three of those actions. Ask, seek, and knock. There must be a desire. There's a desire that motivates you to ask, seek, and knock. So if you're not praying, guess what that tells me? There's a lack of desire there. And desire must be there for answered prayer. You kind of see in the common thread here? All right. A prayerless Christian, listen to this, will many times mess up God's plans because they don't have spiritual vision or spiritual understanding. I like to say it this way, or spiritual perception of what's going on. So they're led by their flesh and even certain times led by the enemy, right? And no one is beyond that, because you remember what Peter, when Peter told Jesus, no, you're not going to go to the cross and die. What did Jesus say? He turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Listen to me. Anybody can be influenced by demons. I don't care who you are. Anybody can be motivated and influenced by demonic spirits. You getting it? That's why we got to be on guard, all right? Now, I'm not going to read it here, but Exodus 33, 12 through 14. Moses could not understand what God's will or plan was in a certain situation, so he asked God to show him his way, to reveal his will to him. This is where Moses, this is the same context, where Moses asked God, God, show me your glory. Oh, I like that. That's a good thing to desire. Amen? Listen to this. When the glory, this is something that Moses understood that you need to understand as a child of God about the glory. Are you ready? When the glory of God manifests, revelation is attached to it. It's impossible to experience the manifest presence of God, the glory of God in your life, to have an encounter in his glory with no revelation attached to it. It's always attached to his presence. Amen? And guess what else is attached to it? Rest and peace are attached to his presence. How many of you need rest and peace? Amen. Then you need his presence. Moses, listen, Moses was asking for more revelation of God himself. He desired. Here's why Moses got it. Are you ready? Because Moses desired a deeper relationship with God. He desired that deeper relationship. There's something about desiring that deep relationship with God where it's a magnet for God. God says, you want to know why? Because that means that you're in God's divine order. What do I mean by that? God created you. The only reason you are here, the only reason you are alive today, a living soul, a living spirit, the only reason is for this reason, to have a relationship with God. Everything else outside of that doesn't even compare. That's the one thing that God desires. Talk to me. I want to talk to you. I want to encounter you. As was said today, I believe, in the Word. That's the reason. So that's why his presence will manifest in your life, because you're in God's divine order. You're desiring that which God created you for in the first place. Lastly, I'm sorry, there's one more, but this is short. A prayerless Christian will be in bondage to worry and fear. A lack of fellowship and intimacy with God will always make room for worry and fear in your heart. Do you know that? Have you found that out yet? Negativity will always fill that void. Where God is not a vacuum of fear and worry and anxiety will come in. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, I'm not going to read it because of it, because of time, but don't be anxious. The Word of God says this there. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father is literally telling us to invite Him into every situation. Are you getting it? A constant, meaningful prayer life will give place to peace and rest in your heart that passes all understanding. If worry and fear are present, this is what the Holy Ghost said. Take hold of this today, right here. If worry and fear are present, you are not praying enough. Pray until worry and fear are eliminated in your life. That's the judgment. Oh, James, how do I know if I prayed enough? Is worry and fear and anxiety still there? Yeah, keep praying. That's what you're looking at. When you can come to the place in that circumstance where there's peace in your heart, where there's a rest on the inside, guess what? You hit that mark. But until you feel that, you better keep pressing in. Because your breakthrough that you're looking for, are you ready for this? Your breakthrough is not necessarily the answer to your prayer. Your breakthrough is peace and rest in your heart. Why? Because many times our prayers are nothing but spiritual witchcraft, trying to manipulate someone's free will. Oh, you didn't get that. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's why the real breakthrough you're looking for is peace on the inside of your own life. Why? Because you can't control anybody. And if you're trying to control someone, you're in witchcraft. That's flesh. That's witchcraft. Amen? And demons love to be involved with that. Here's my last point. The major loss for the kingdom of God due to our prayerlessness is the evangelistic work will be hindered on this earth. Look at Matthew chapter 9. I am going to read this. This is it. Matthew chapter 9. That's a whole other sermon about spiritual witchcraft. Come on. Which one day I'll get to when the Holy Ghost says, right? Matthew 9, 35 through 38. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. I want you to notice that there is not a problem with the harvest. Jesus said there's a problem with people obeying my spirit as laborers going out and harvesting it. There's laborers that are lacking. And then he goes on to tell us to pray that laborers would be sent. That implies if you're not praying for laborers to be sent into the harvest, it will not come to pass. Many Christians don't witness or evangelize to unbelievers like they should, let alone praying for laborers to go. Why? Because we're so consumed with selfishness. Oh, the devil wants to keep us in that place. It's all about me. It's all about me. Well, there's people going to hell in a handbasket right now. Amen? There are multitudes of unbelievers that are waiting to hear the gospel. They're waiting to experience that hope of Jesus Christ. All right? You know, like I say all the time, people say, well, those people heard the gospel. No, most likely they heard a bunch of religious crap. A lot of dead religion, not the true gospel. You need to show it to them. Amen? So take a moment and feel the heartbeat of God on that issue. The harvest truly is ready. Unbelievers are ready to get saved from an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. But there is a lack of those laborers. Christians that are unwilling to plant plant seeds. They're unwilling to water those seeds. And when you feel that nudge to witness to someone, to be used, listen, when there's a nudge in you to go witness to someone, just know this, you are an answer to someone's prayer for their loved one. Let's really think about that. If you refuse that, someone's praying for that loved one. Someone's praying for that son. Someone's praying for that daughter. Someone's praying for mom and dad. And here you just got the nudge because someone cared enough to pray for that person. Take advantage of that. Listen, don't refuse it. Let not that be said of the Christians here at Living Waters Chapel or those watching and listening online right now. Listen, church, don't give into the distractions of the enemy and of the flesh. Stay spiritually minded. Settle it in your heart right now that you will not be a prayerless Christian from this point forward. You will begin to ask. You will begin to seek. You will begin to knock like never before. And you will bear good fruit for the kingdom of God and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come forward today. Hallelujah. Now, if you're here today and you are not born again, guess what? I'm that answer to prayer. I am that laborer right now saying, today is the day of salvation. You're feeling the nudge in your heart right now to do this thing. Listen, that's the Holy Spirit. And the scary thing about that is you never know when your last breath is. Think about that. You never know when you're going to take your last breath. That may be the last nudge you ever feel in your heart to make Jesus Lord of your life. And when it's all done, you take your last breath, it's over. Your eternal destination is sealed. It's done. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come forward and make him Lord of your life. Pray with one of our prayer partners. Now, if there's someone here you want to rededicate your life, that's just as serious as getting saved. Because if you don't have that confidence, your conscience is eating at you. That's not the devil. That's the Holy Spirit saying, get right with me now. Get right with me now. Clear your conscience today. Start a new walk with God. Rededicate to him. Come forward if you want to rededicate. Maybe you never received the Holy Spirit baptism, praying in tongues, all that's kind of foreign to you. Come down and one of our prayer team members will minister to you. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. We will stay as long as we can to minister to you. Those that signed up for the membership meeting, I'm just going to pray over the food right now so you can get rolling on that. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. Lord, every word that was spoken, I pray it would be engrafted on the hearts of the listeners today. And Lord, I pray for the food downstairs, Lord, for the people that are joining the church today. Lord, I pray you would bless that food and bless the fellowship and the class today, Lord. And we thank you for it. And everybody said, Amen. I love you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you Wednesday at Deeper Waters. Carol.